Welcome to the Quintessential Listening Poetry Online Radio and YouTube Podcast, streamed live from the heart of Washington, D.C. Here, you'll find a portal to vibrant voices, echoing souls, and an ongoing celebration of the extraordinary power of language. So, prepare yourself to join host Dr. Michael Anthony Ingram and his special guests as they explore traditional and spoken word forms of poetry.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. I recently had the pleasure of interviewing the esteemed and prolific poet, Jacqueline James. She has published 17 books, including 12 poetry collections and 5 children's books. Jacqueline's journey as a self-made poet has been nothing short of inspiring. During our interview, she delves into spiritual awareness, social realities, and offers insightful perspectives on the human experience. Jacqueline showcased her remarkable gift for wordsmithing, leaving a lasting impression with her profound readings. Her dedication to infusing each book with poetry with a purpose reflects her mission to provide meaningful and positive strategies for navigating life's complexities. I invite you to join us for this enlightening conversation and immerse yourself in the powerful poetry of Jacqueline James. Jacqueline, what is poetry?
To me, it's a form of free expression. It's a bridge between cultures, age groups, social standards, as well as economic standards, racial differences, as well as engagement to justify or and rectify our position. It also allows the imagination to explore the what-ifs in life through a safe channel. It filters through different and or similar ideas. The poems may or may not have a dramatic stance for words. The verbiage varies from poet to poet, depending on their culture and their intellectual experience. Personally, when I put a pen in my hand, when I put my fingers on the keyboard or a mic up to my mouth, I'm an invincible force to be reckoned with. I'm a magical torch of life prodigy. I am an evolution of farming.
Thank you for that wonderful definition. Jacqueline, there are people out there who believe that poetry is dying, that it's not what it once was. What is your take on it? And my question is poetry still important?
Well, to me, okay, like I was saying, it's the bridge from cultures. So for the elderly, I visit a lot of senior residential apartment complexes as well as the medical centers. And poetry is a form of what would like music in the same quiet, where it slows down the progress of dementia. So that engaging with our seniors, keep them uplifted, keep them connected through my poetry. So I enjoy them and they enjoy me as well. Now for the younger group, like maybe the mid-20s or the teenagers, for them, it's sort of like a bridge, bringing them to a different standards of verbiage, okay? It creates a literary bond, and it kind of clean up their verbiage, okay? Kind of clean up their dialect just with the poem. In my children books, even though they are children books, they come out in a rhyme. Kind of, that's the way I write. So it's a learning tool for them.
Jacqueline, what else does poetry accomplish for these adults and children?
Poetry, it enhances their imagination. It takes them places where they haven't been, or maybe they can't afford to be, or maybe they just haven't had opportunity, or life got so busy that it didn't present itself. Or sometimes it like bring to a surface what their inner thought, okay? Things that they're afraid or hesitant to express. They find themselves through my home.
Jacqueline, please share with me an early experience where you learned that poetic language had power.
Oh, I'm going to tell you. My earliest experience was in like third grade. I know, like third grade is an awfully young age. But I think it was just a basic poetry coming from Edgar Allan Poe. When I read The Raven, I was just mesmerized. I had never known that words can captivate a love of love. All in the same form. With that poem, Raven, it really done it for me. It snatched my imagination. Like, where's he going with this? He was so mystical with it, and I really appreciated that. And then I went on to read more, and then Langston Hughes. He was my next poet that I was really impressed by. Okay, because he bridged the silence between the oppression for African American culture. And his magnitude of wisdom that he expressed through his point was so inspiring. And afterwards, after him, his presentation, it went from there to Maya Angelou. I just was cool because I seen myself as a little baby Maya Angelou. But you know what I mean? And she's just her bravery, her courage. And it's just like I had actually experienced a dramatic loss when I was a young child. So just reading that with Maya Angelou, I know why the taste birds thing, it kind of hit home for me. And it just wanted me to just learn more about how I can express myself through that art where I can be heard. Then I went on to the rhythm. I was really attracted to Dr. Seuss. That's why my children was just a creative memory of Dr. Seuss, because it's a learning tool for our young people. And just the way he just can compose words and make them rhyme and make them jump off the page. I see so much life and life through him. And I see me doing this. And I went on to do that later on.
When you think about your body of work, what are some of the predominant themes that you write about?
And I'm glad you asked me that, Dr. Michael, because I am actually gifted, and I appreciate that gift, to be able to write in different genres. I can write from general, from love poems, to just poems about posting. I can write poems educational. I can write spiritual poems. I can write informative poems. And, of course, my favorite, entertainment poems. And then I realized I was a master of rhyme because they just started coming to me, asking me, would you write a poem for my birthday? And it came out so beautiful. Would you write a poem for my anniversary? You all do that too. And then I also do a poem for recognition for different cities and cultures. I bring them together. I can take your whole story and compose it into a work of art through my poetry. And I also do bereavement poems. I take your life story with people who passed on. And for a keepsake, I don't charge anything for that. Never have, never will. And I present it to the family, the closest loved one. And I would take that, and it's like a keepsake where they can just take that loved one's memory and reflect back on the good things that they meant to them through my word. I think that's my favorite of all, just being able to do that, give something back.
My next question pertains to other influences. You've already talked about Dr. Maya Angelou, Langston Hughes, Edgar Allan Poe, and Dr. Seuss. Were there other influences that helped shape your poetry?
My mother.
Your mother.
Oh, my mother. Okay, so this gift would lay dormant for over 50 years, Dr. Mike. Okay, no one nurtured it as a child. So I didn't go to school for writing or poetry or none of that in nature. That's why I'm naming myself as a self-made poet. Because it lay dormant from third grade all the way up until 8 years ago. I know I satisfied 2 marriages. I sent 5 children to college. And when my youngest graduated from high school and went on to college, I was like, it just came back on me. It's phenomenal. I had a toothache. What's mate, right? So I was in the hospital for like 3 days with infection going through my brain, right? And everybody was praying and fasting on my behalf. I was writing poetry. I was in the hospital for 3 days and had written enough poems to fill a whole book. I'm serious. And when I came out of the hospital, my children, they come visit me still to see if I was okay. They were all moved out and everything. And so my oldest daughter was speaking to my oldest son. Do you know mama will not stop getting rhymes? Must be the morphine. Okay. They want me to hand them all. Okay. So this was December 2016. And 2017, everything I tried, well, I was a writer, regardless, but I worked as a caterer. But I always did professional writing for people, like, just like, for the resumes with this type of nature. And so after everything I picked up and touched, even spoke, it came out in a run. And I said, well, Lord, are you going to tell me something? I told you, are you not listening? And that's when I got insomnia. I could not sleep. I could not do anything other than write. At the red light and stoplight, I was writing. Everything cast a plum upon my spirit. In 2017, I wrote 17
1 year.
I know. And they like, is that even possible? I didn't think so either. But by me being a visual person, I print everything out. I'm not really that computer savvy, so I didn't have a lot of stuff in files. And I didn't even realize how much I had been writing until 2018. I said, I'm going to publish. I told my mother, I said, I'm going to publish my book of poetry. And I kept spreading it out in categories on my table. And that's when I knew they were in different categories. It looked like it should be entertainment. Oh, this looks like it should be spiritual. But this looks like more educational. That's interesting. So I put it in piles and piles. I said, but it's too much. So what I did, I went to the local libraries. And I went to other bookstores. And I looked at other poets' work and seen how many poems were in the book. So they were offering maybe 35 to 40 poems. I said, okay, well, I'll give them to me. I said, and when I broke this, right. When I broke it down, I had enough to fill 17 books of poetry, which all of them were not even published yet. Even though I have 17 published books, all of the books that I wrote during a course of time are not published. So in 2018, I published two of them. 2019, I published two. Then we went into the pandemic. Okay. And we went into the country went down for 2 years. And those 2 years, I was able to publish 10 books. I know. Right. But what happened was, so when we came 2 years ago, my gift to writing came back. Where I can write, but it didn't necessarily have to be poetry. I can go back and forth. So that's when the children books got published 2 years ago. And I just celebrated. I said, now let me tell you about my mother being the inspiration. Going back to that question. My mother, when she first found out that I was going to become public, she went in her underwear drawer and found the first poem that I wrote in the third grade. She said, I've been waiting on you, baby.
Oh, that's what your mama said? That's incredible.
It's the very first poem in my first book. The very first poem. I made that poem that she had in that drawer. Yes. So that book, if you get the book, Poetry with a Twist, that's my first public book. And this sound like a third grader wrote it, a third grader did it. So some of the poems, in there, you see the immaturity, and then you can see the education and the maturity in the writing.
Take a little poem with you that you can share with us. I'd love to hear it.
And I would love to read it. I'm going to share with you Birthday with Poetry with a Twist. You can see this book up here. This is my first published book. And the very first poem in here was written by me in the third grade. And it's the name of it is Family. Family. What my family means to me. Look around and you will see. From the old to the new. All the love is shining through. Rushing through the ocean shore, forceful as a lion's roar. We stick together in a pack, stopping the world in its track. We laugh, we cry, we sing, we play. And when it's all over, we did it our way.
Beautiful, Jacqueline. Please share it again. I want to hear it one more time.
Family, what my family means to me. Look around and you will see. From the old to the new, all the love is shining through. Rushing through the ocean shore, forceful as a lion's roar. We stick together in a pack, stopping the world in its track. We laugh, we cry, we sing, we pray. And when it's all over, we did it our way.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you again for sharing it twice. It seems like writing poetry really energizes you. Conversely, does it ever exhaust you?
Oh, no, it never exhausts me. Oh, it has never exhausted me at all. Actually, like I said, I had to actually pray for a voice because once the spirit, it had overwhelmed me. I have written now in 8 years, I've written over 43 books. I have enough to fill 43 books. The first 17 was written in the first year of 2017. When I took a break, all of those could not from that particular set because I stopped and I went to the children's books and then I started writing. When I realized I had the capability to write what people wanted from me, that's when I sit and start intentionally writing. At first, it was just writing unconsciously, if you understand that. Like waking up 3 o'clock in the morning, it's just there, just cock-eyed writing, okay? But now I can actually write intentionally, right? So I can choose to write a children's book, or I can choose to write a poem. Or I can just sit back and relax and just let it flow on its own.
When you think about writing a poem, how does it begin? With an idea, a feeling, a form, or an image?
You know what? Sometimes it varies. It varies. So if I'm just sitting back, relaxing, I mean, my kids, I drove them crazy. Like, I would be at family outing. I had my nieces and my nephews and my daughters around the same age. They like, don't say nothing to my Auntie Jackie or you'll get a poem. If they tell me something like that, involved with a man that's in another situation, I'll write a poem about it. Please, they brought the spaghetti last night, I'll write a poem about that. It's almost like everything someone said or everything that came in my presence just turned into a poem. Now I have a little bit more control, but I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm going to read this one particular poem because from their first book. That first book was like a revelation for me, okay? And I didn't even understand myself at the time because, like I said, the gift had laid dormant for so many years. So the name of this poem is Strange Air. Like strange, hyphen, then E-R. I saw a stranger passing by. With the blink of an eye, I wanted to cry. For that split second, she caught my attention. I heard a heartbeat when I decided to listen. Her thoughts were all fuzzy. I could hardly hear. She was really fragile. I could smell her fear. She wanted to scream as she turned around, but she felt my presence and made no sound. I didn't disturb her. It wasn't my place. Straw in her eyes gleamed on her face. The moment that passed seemed to be hours. I denied her myself. Was I just a coward? I had nothing to offer other than empathy. But at the time, I was in good company. I tried to speak when I poured it together, but she was long gone, like my breath in the weather. Thank you. And that's where I saw myself. And only a couple of people that know me personally, when I shared that when I first wrote it in January of 17, it was like the beginning. Yeah. And when I shared that poem with a couple of people that close in my circle, they knew right off. They said, you're speaking of yourself. I didn't even know I was speaking of myself.
Jacqueline, when you discovered through the poem that you had written about yourself, how did it impact you?
It made me cry. I was very emotional. I was very emotional. And because I knew I had lost myself into everyone else's life and their situation, nurturing them and supporting their ideals and their dreams. And I never even knew I had one this deep inside of me that had been cocooned or was calcified. It was almost dying.
One of the poems in my upcoming book is titled, Where Was I Inside My Own Life?
And I got an answer for you in a poem. Trapped in my own walls of solitude, speaking the language only I can understand. My death cry for redemption goes unanswered, screaming, ranting, and trying to break free from this prison in which I've so conveniently engaged my thoughts in it. My pathetic need to be heard is superficial. Skepticism progressed as I become more hesitant to unlock the door that would surely free me from my own misery. I convinced myself of a strategy that would persuade me to use the key. What? There's a key. How awfully predictable I've become. Thank you. And I was sitting on my front porch a day before Christmas when I was like, it just was there. And I wasn't thinking of it. It just came out. And I just I just realized that I had become really predictable in all my ways, where to a point where people called me and they knew I would answer. They knew I would come. They my schedule more than I knew myself. You understand? And I had lost myself in the illusion of what they thought of me.
Very powerful statement. That is totally self-awareness. When you can say that out loud and proclaim it, when you know it, you can move beyond that point and move to a different plane of development. Very powerful. Very, very powerful.
Yes. So all I'm doing, Michael, I've been just like using the revenue from one project to invest in the next. That's why all of them are getting published behind each other like a domino effect. Boom, 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 boom. One behind each other.
Do you believe that writing a poem is letting your guard down or building a wall?
No, it's actually, it can be both. I can write you up and I can write you down as well. So that's why I learned the cautiousness of my nieces now, where they knew I was talking about them in my book, even though I never said their name. What is that? I had one poem named What. Okay, I knew that poem What would trigger an emotion from my young niece that was messing with a married man at the time. So,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it built a wall for a minute because she avoided me. And I wanted her to avoid me in certain circumstances because I didn't want to condone her behavior coming to her house and seeing this man. You understand that claiming it's just a friend. But I didn't want to just cut her off by saying no, blah, 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 and break the connection. So I just wrote it. And I knew she would buy my book because it was coming out. And I knew she would read it and find herself through it. So it built a wall on just in that situation, in other situations. I can build a wall when I want. It's my cocoon. I can protect myself from you if I don't want you around me. I can talk about you in my poetry without ever calling your name. And you'll find it. Or I can build you up in the same thing.
Please share another poem. I enjoy hearing your work.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm excited, okay? Because I got a few out. Okay, now this is from my spiritual collection. This is one of my favorites. Okay, you know what I told you? I go out in the field when it's called. I do vending events and I sell poems. The ones that I write for myself, like my choice would be spiritual. Got it? Now, you can ask me for a personalized poem and I'll laminate it and I'll frame it, right? But the ones that I sell that will be on my table next to my books is always my spiritual. Okay. This particular one is God's Puppet. It is also in my first written book. I beat to his drum. I pray at his feet. I share his love with the people I greet. I'm his puppet on the string. For his love, I lift my voice to sing. I worship him throughout my days. He controls my mind and my praise. He orders my thoughts and my speech. He controls the dance in my feet. He chooses my path that I walk on. He controls my words when I talk. He keeps my soul longing for more, for his mercy is what I live for. He shows me his amazing grace. He keeps a smile on my face. I worship the praise and on demand. I write poetry for him on demand. He makes sure my fate don't cease by keeping me in his perfect peace. For his life, he gives his will. In my days, the hope I feel. Now, I'm his puppet on the string. As a Christian, I do my thing. The Lord is my shepherd, guiding me through God's love. I know it's true. He keeps me happy and satisfied. He forgives my sins. He don't deny. For your will be done in my life, my Lord. For your existence, I'll work hard. I'm your puppet on the string. I'll serve you always. You're my holy king. He lifts my arms with his praise. He keeps me strong through my day. He helps me when I stand. I give him the glory at my hand. He lets me love even when I don't want. He teaches me the righteous things to do. He humbles my spirit. He brings me joy. I'm his puppet. I'm his toy. He helps me every day I live to keep me safe with his comfort I feel. He keeps my mind set on him. He renews my faith so my life's not dead. I'm blessed that God does all the work for me. Through his deliverance, my soul is free. God, I'm your puppet on a string. I'm here to serve you. You are my king. Now, that's one of my very favorite, and that's on my wall. I can't just enlarge that myself and sign it to myself from God. And it's on my wall in my office.
What makes that particular poem one of your personal favorites?
Because I thought I had insomnia. I was taking sleeping pills. I was drinking NyQuil and all of, I was taking melatonin and all natural things, the prescription things, trying to get some sleep, but he was just throwing it in there. And it's the type of poems, not just the poems I chose or things that I seen the image. He invited into my spirit that I know I was not even exposed to that presence. So I know it didn't come from me.
Share with me lines that you felt most proud about in terms of writing, and also lines that you may have felt more challenged to write.
I think he shows me his amazing grace. I think his grace over my life, because I've made so many mistakes, not intentionally. He still held on to me when I turned my back on him, so to speak, not intentionally, because this, even though it was not nurtured as a child, it still had no interest in my life growing up. You understand? Mm-hmm. I didn't surround myself by people of that nature, of that beauty, of that caliber to be expressed. It's almost like I denied myself, period, of me. And that was the God in me that I didn't allow to shine. So I think that by me saying I forgive other people, once he allows me to love, even when I don't want to. Because, will we sometimes tell them, I'm like, God, get your people, and why you ain't it, get me too.
Does it hurt you to write poetry? If not, why not?
No, it does not, but I have written some pieces that has been hurtful to me because I have fueled myself through my work. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I should be laying on some psychiatrist couch right about now. Okay. So I've actually healed myself through my writing. Some of my poems, like you would say, kind of throw them in the formative section. Because it's just giving you things that we all can relate to at some point, even if it didn't happen to you personally, per se, it happened to somebody you know. Or you can hear about it on the news. You are knowledgeable of it. A lot of people don't understand that a lot of those situations have actually happened to me or through me and have been closer to home, you grow up. And with that being said, it has been therapeutic for me.
Earlier in our conversation, you mentioned the word empathy, which brings up the second part of the question that I asked you. I now ask, are you willing to be hurt by the poetry of others? If not, why not?
Yes, so I do empathize a lot with a lot of people, and that is how they're able to find themselves through my work. Because I see things that they're not necessarily comfortable to discuss, or they're not willing to admit that they exist. And it's almost like I'm a reader. I'm not psychic or anything like that, but the poetry gives me an advantage through a situation where I can read through it. And instead of saying, gonna equal B, or your A led you to B, I'll just write the poem and share it with that particular individual. And they'll know they can find themselves in it. As I have people that may have bought my book maybe a year or two ago, and will call me up. They will call me up, or they'll text me, and they'll say, can I speak with you for a minute? You may not remember me, but you were at such and such fair or market, and I just finally got around to reading this book, and this poem really touched my heart. Or they may say, person passed away in my family, and this poem reminds me of it. And it's really a good feeling when it comes back.
Please share another poem.
Okay. I don't know why I just love this book. You know, my poetry was twisted. So let me see about this book. You see it right there? That's a twister. So I was like, so after I did all that when I arranged all the plants on my table, my dining room table, I realized there were so many. And mm-hmm. I started giving my children names, okay? And the first one I named the Poetry with a Twist. And I got that twisted because I was like, the world ain't ready for this stuff. I have never seen nothing like that. So I'm like, get ready. So I'm about to stir some stuff up, and I know it. I know it's going to be awesome. So this is the unknown. This is me, again, thinking, waiting, anticipating something extraordinary or out of the ordinary. Will it submit to its present? It's overwhelming. The long for its insatiable relief with delight, needing desperately to break the monotonous of the day. Finding annoyance in every gesture that's announced. Mesmerized by the fantasy of it captivating my attention and sending me soaring into a dissolute state of mind. Will it surround and expire a stench in which unpleasantly repulse me to a point of regurgitation? Or am I to embrace this aroma with fulfillment, such as the gentleness of the evening spray? Will it vibration roar through it with energy of a volcano and break my solitude? Or would it whisper by so delicately, as calm as the infant breath? I'm imagining the intensity of a turn with the texture smooth and soothing like the go off across my face, preoccupied by the phantom that consumed me. My illusion torn by the thought of it possibly being pleasing to my eye. So all the day, the evening, I wait, and all through the night, the end.
What do you think makes poets different from other people?
I think what makes us different is we have this sense of freedom. We have this sense of we can unload. We don't have to be bottled down or desperate for anything. Because I noticed I was more anxious before I embraced my gift. I was more anxious for other people's approval of me. Okay, I was more anxious of what I, my perfection and whatever I did throughout the day. Okay, now I'm more or less, if they like it, they like it. If they don't, then nothing. I'm more confident. It gives me a sense of confidence, gives me a sense of freedom, and it gives me a sense of power. Because I'm like, I'm one up in you, so to speak.
Let's imagine for a moment that writing a poem is like baking the cake. What are some of the ingredients that go into the making of a poem?
What ingredients will go into making a poem? I think imagination will go in there. I think a mixture of love will go in there. Passion will be stirred around up in there. I think a lot of empathy will go in there. I think consideration, a lot of time, a lot of hard work will go into it.
So, Jacqueline, what are you attempting to communicate? What are you trying to get across to people?
What I'm trying to do is actually allow people to see themselves through my work. Allow people to heal through my work. Allow people to grow. Allow people to be able to get that self-confidence back to say it's okay not to be okay and still be okay with it. So they don't have to be so worn down and take everything so serious. Like everything is just a dire need. I don't pay my electric bill before the due date. Oh, everybody needs that high pressure state at life. Especially during this time with COVID. COVID kind of, right, it's a game changer for a lot of situations, right? But when you think about it, you got to leave this earth regardless. You're not meant to stay here. So poetry allows me to leave them what? That is my point of staying here. That's how I get to stay.
It's part of your legacy.
Part of my legacy. Yes, please.
All writers have words they use over and over again in their work. What are three of your most favorite words to use in your writing?
Something that you asked me that. I use the word unconditional a lot. I think I use the word imaginal more a lot. And I think I use the word like, you It's a lot of words. And what I thought about that the other day, actually, when I was writing a poem, and I was like, I didn't want to become redundant with my verbiage. Did you ask me that? Because I'm always flipping through my synonyms. I don't know, words, back words, I don't repeat it, but it's actually the same meaning when you get the wind in everything.
Right.
Right. I think I use the word absorb a lot too, because I try to get people to absorb that message and use that message and just absorb it into their psyche. So it becomes a part of them. Anyway, they don't necessarily have to memorize the form, but to memorize the message.
We live in a world where there's good, bad, ugly, as well as indifference. What do you view as being the role of a poet in modern day society?
So the majority of poems are driven by passion from a particular subject, right? So I think in today's society, we're influencers. We are the icebreaker in life. And we are the thin line between right and wrong, hate and love, good and evil. We're the voice of object, a way of reasoning. I have found myself being able to talk people into liking each other. They were definitely envy. I'm stupid. We run the same circle, but they will come to me because I am a poet. And not only am I a poet, but I'm sort of like a peacemaker. But I'm their go-to person. I've always been their go-to person. Like, they're all the diamond children on my lap, and I will never be opinionated with it. I'm never the person to say, I told you so. I'll just rather allow them to see themselves. I am their looking glass. Okay? So I'll throw back with the poem. In reference, but not intentionally, well, they'll think I'm doing it on purpose or at the same time. I'll just give it a little time so can you revive it. But I have been able to connect. I'm a connector with different organizations, different people, my poetry. Well, they didn't necessarily even know each other. Yeah. And I bring organizations together. I brought community events together just because of my presence and what each one had in common was me. It's a lot of diversity I create through my poetry as well. So it's not like really gender or race or nothing like that. I have been able to create diversity because it's in the human language is one language. We don't cry in different languages. We all have pain. We all have sorrow. I've never heard no one cry in Chinese. So we lose that. We lose ourselves when we're in pain, and we lose ourselves when we're in pleasure. Those two lines can be like a connector.
Please share another poem.
This is my most recent one. Power. Book number 17. I'm going to go to the first one because this is one when I was telling you about the dream. And when they went more or less dreams, they were just more or less spirits that just wake me up. It's a little dark. It's a little dark, but I just want to give you a little insight on that style. Mudslides and rose petals. Why did your baby girl get mudslides and my baby girl get rose petals? Your baby girl get a promise, a Prince Charming with a cap, a perfect love story with a happy ever after. Why my baby girl get left with rape and abuse, with all the men in her life making some lame-ass excuse. Your baby girl get two parents with a college phone. He gets her first car at 16 to wreck just for her. My baby girl get an alcoholic stepfather and a father who steps in and out of her life. He's lucky to get food to eat and decent clothes without a wife. Your baby girl fantasizes to marry the man of her dream. The man to have her hand in marriage will work hard to the extreme. But my baby girl gets her virginity taken in a locker room by the principal's son, while half the football team watches him take off the run. Your baby girl will be asked to the prom by the most popular high school fella. She'll wear an elegant dress tailored especially for her. my baby girl would go to the prom accompanied by her teenage girl. She will wear a dress that was donated by the privileged girls of the world. Your baby girl will come home on time from a chauffeur-driven limousine. Her only worry would be if she danced too hard and ripped her dress thin. My baby girl will have scars for the rest of her life. She will have been gang raped and dropped off at a friend house for the night. Your baby girl will later attend a prestigious college where she'll be highly educated. She'll graduate cum laude because of her dedication. My baby girl will attend a junior college that she'll be lucky to complete. She will have to work two jobs just to make ends meet. Your baby girl will marry her high school sweetheart who waited patiently for her while he did his part. She'll wear a long white gown and have the talk of the century wedding. She'll go on a luxurious honeymoon with set and sheet for her bedding. My baby girl will win at a church with a small family pride, or she'll be forced to elope and marry at City Hall. Your baby girl will have her first experience with her husband and offer him her purity. My baby girl will have sex with her husband because she no longer has her virginity. My baby girl will wear a Dora to slide right down through the generational moment. Your baby girl will have a Dora with that seed who breed roses to generate petals of love. My baby girl went into depression after her husband left. Your baby girl celebrates many anniversaries because she lived her happily ever after.
Jacqueline, that's an incredible poem. Tell me more about it. What is the purpose of the poem?
It woke me up out of my sleep. I couldn't go back to sleep before I sat back. No, I know. And that's how it is. Sometimes Paul literally take control of me, and there's nothing I can do about it besides satisfy it. Or I can rock myself to sleep. I can take another sleeping pill or whatever, but it's not going to do any good, I'm telling you.
It's a very powerful poem. How was it received when you shared it?
So I had no choice. See, okay, when this poem was given to me, mm-hmm. I had a choice to know that it wasn't mine. So at first, I used to think that poems belong to me because they came through, but they don't.
Yes. All right.
They're for the world to learn something from it and to understand. So I'm going to give you this other poem, this, and then I'm going to give you a poem that I intentionally wrote, okay?
Right.
This poem right here, I was so tired, I think I had been up for a couple of days, and I still were outside of the house. So I was so tired, and I went to relieve myself, and it came like this. Oops, God, I'll do it. I'll remember that. It came again. There's so many ways for one to say it, and there are so many things to be said. I got it. I'm sleepy. I will write it in the morning. Let me rest. This time, it didn't stop. There's so many ways for one to say it, and there are so many things to be said. The name of it is Brown Black Girl. It's so many ways for one to say it, and there are so many things to be said. It was us waited to be greeted with our big brown eyes, along with others patiently inside. We were totally ignored because we were black, and that was their intention to acknowledge that fact. Worry about me, they couldn't care less, even though I was arrogantly dressed my best. From my head to my toe, I was sparkling clean, and their rudeness disgusted me, but I made not a thing. But the place was freaky and overwhelmed by my class, and they knew in an instant I was way above their white trash. However, they gathered up the party that had been waiting least of the time, leaving behind the obvious, and that group was mine. We all took a pause and we bit our tongue. We didn't want their troubles, but we came out for fun. Our time had come, and they split us up into three. There's a table across from us, big enough, please. We just want to laugh and reminisce on our day. Those was the words I just had to say. As innocent as they may have sounded, it sent the crowd into a frenzy. And as quickly as I turned, we were arrested by men. What was the charges? What were we guilty of? because back then it was something they just could not love. On the way to the station, we were beaten and maced, and I lost consciousness as I felt stick hit my face. Disregarding it all, we were thrown into cells with opposite sex, and there were disgusting criminals sweating up against my dress. When we faced the juror, she was told that we resisted arrest, but the judge dismissed it because our silence surpassed his test. Nevertheless, we were given a warning not to ever return to his town. Regardless of our money, our skin would feel brown. Thank you. So that part was so emotional for me. So I cried for about 10 minutes, and then I thanked God for it, using me as a vessel. And then when I gained my composure, I was able to write this one. And this poem was like a revelation of like knowing that they did not belong to me. So the name of it, Poems Make Me Write. Sometimes I think about poems. Sometimes poems think about me. And they find the right poet who has the courage to see. I write the thoughts that sent to me. They're so obviously not my story. Nevertheless, I embrace them without any worry. I compose the rhymes that's been trapped within time. I surface flow, and the beauty becomes mine. They lure me in a corner with my back up against the wall. And before long, I'm convinced that I must write it all. Sometimes they're harsh, and I just want to scream. Nevertheless, I indulge them because they will blunt, shattered dreams. I have the ability to allow their voices to be heard and mesmerize my audience as they talk with my words. I surface their scars and all of their pain. I turn the light on their secrets and their hidden shame. Once the guilt is acknowledged and their indiscretions are revealed, it satisfies the entities and the prophecies are fulfilled. Wow. Thank you. And I was able to read.
Incredible. Jacqueline, we've almost come to the end of our poetic journey. But you've written too many poems for me not to invite you to return to the podcast later in the year. I would really like you to return. I want to hear more and more of your work.
Thank you. I would love to return as well. Thank you for having me. This is new fun.
Also, I'd like you to be a part of a program that I'm planning. The title of the program is The Role of Spirituality in Black Women's Poetry. There will be 6 Black women poets, and I'd like you to be one of them. I tried to pull this together last year, but it did not happen due to technical reasons. So maybe this is how God had it planned. He wanted you to be a part of it. This is how it was supposed to be.
Thank you. That's an amazing opportunity. I would love that.
Great.
We've now reached what I view as being my favorite part of the program. I view it as being a mini poetry lovers concert. This is an opportunity for you, Jacqueline, to share 4 or 5 of your works back to back without interruption from me. Jacqueline, you're on the stage.
Let me see what I got for y'all. Okay. I like it. Hey, let me give you a little bit of the laughter one. Laugh, laugh, and laugh louder. Another one of my favorites. And this is a woman's thing, okay? Now, where is my estrogen? I get women with this every time. You want to know something weird? I'm about to grow a gray beard. All of my estrogen has faded away, and I'm turning masculine by the end of the day. My words have lost their gentle sweet, and I'm me,
and my voice is deep.
Keep my manners in their place, and the hair is growing around my face. I'm forming muscles on my chest, and I'm looking rough and with satin red. I lost the fullness in my lips and the prayers of my heels. Just to get my feminine back, the doctor prescribed a hormone patch. Some say if a woman lives to her ripe old age, some of her estrogen actually fades away. I was born a woman, I guess, to wore it and left the man.
I like laughter.
I like laughter. So I got another one for you. Jackie's coming and she got some. Yes, I always suspected something from me every time I pulled up. Every time my truck pulled up. Yeah, Jackie coming and she got something. Something in her big bag or in her hand. He's going to meet you like the man. She coming with presents. She's coming with gifts. She's stopping with something to make your life chill. If you need a ride, just jump inside. She'll drive you around. She doesn't matter. If you're down on your luck and it ain't funny, she'll start with you and give you some money. If you're hungry or in a bad mood, she'll stop what she's doing to bring some food. If you're in need of some new clothes, she'll give you the shirt off her back, even if it's old. Y'all, Jackie's coming, and she's got some. So, it's a lady going around spreading poems throughout the town, telling truth the same facts, telling people about herself. She really wants to write it twice. Poems I heard are very nice. You haven't heard of it yet? In for a treat, and that's all. Rock on. Rock on past depression. Rock on past adolescence. Rock on past peer pressure. Rock on past rejection. Rock on past dysfunction. Rock on past negativity. Rock on past insecurity. Rock on past inferiority. Rock on past doubt. Rock on past deception. Rock on past temptation. Rock on past confusion. Rock on past illusion. Rock on past violence. Rock on past failure. Rock to confidence. Rock to completion. Rock to productivity. Rock to education. Rock to positivity. Rock to independence. Rock to dedication. Rock to preservation. Rock to determination. Rock to creativity. Rock to happiness. Rock to employment. Rock to respect. Rock to accountability. Rock to responsibility. Rock to trustees.
Jacqueline, were you destined to be a poet?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I was born to be a poet.
Tell me why.
Why? Because I'm most comfortable in my skin through my poetry. This is the most comfortable time of my life. I love it. I'm never tired. I just want people who want more from me. I can carry myself with my work. I can heal my beauty. I'm telling you, I was that one book, Laugh Louder. I was in my bedroom. My son came by and he was like, he asked me if I had company. I said, no, I have become my own best friend. Keep myself entertained. I don't need nothing. Oh my goodness. And the feedback people give me from my work, it just builds my confidence. When it just reassures me. And, you know, that I continue to put my art as my priority.
Do you have a few more that you can share with us before we end?
I start with her beauty. Her beauty, rippling through the ocean tide, watching the sun as it rides. Behold her bottom filled with treasure, countless gleams to no measure. Dirtless surfers waiting to ride. The highest point from her tide, whirling around as the wind grows strong, brightly shining as the day is long, beating through the breasts of the ocean shore, attracting tourists as she roars. Navy blue is her color at the bottom of her bed, topaz fills the top of her head. Light blue and green covers the middle of her sea, her belly filled with tropical fish. To name them all will be your wish. Fishermen come and sailors go to watch their catch be a show, collecting oysters and seashells for the absent ones. Please do tell. Brightly shines the sun her way, freezing through a sweaty day. Tourist swims at her edge. They meet, brushing the sand from beneath their feet. Hundreds of waves flutter past, blowing winds that cannot last, taking when you're near, needing to know how beauty is there. Embracing the ocean again. Thank you. Then the proverb, race. This is something I struggled with. So I want to share it. My ethnicity and race is all confused. Society speaks of us to bring bad news. We're already stereotyped as being the worst of the worst. I was cursed by the plague right from birth. I really don't know my nationality. I'm mixed with some of this and some of that. I'm more than African-American, and that's a fact. My skin is coral. It's beautiful to me. There's nothing you can say or do to lower my self-esteem. We shouldn't be judged by race or the color of our skin. What defines a man is his character from within. The Americans are not our true breed, and the African race, we don't fit in. African-American, what exactly does that mean? A race spawned from the white man's sin? We were rejected from the very start and labeled as being ignorant and a bunch of retort. We were given common names that followed us throughout our lives, hoping to gain heritage when a man takes a wife. All the generations to come were by that name, not knowing the circumstances, but understanding the shame. We just continued trying to live an everyday life until the prejudice hit us and we were up for a fight. We had to fight for freedom. We had to fight for equality. We had to fight for justice. We had to fight for civil rights. We had to fight for equal rights. We had to fight for human rights. Haven't our ancestors fought enough to pay the price for all our lives? I'm tired of fighting. I don't know about you. The struggle is long and the fight isn't through. We all need to keep our armor protection. God's grace will lead us in the right direction. No matter what our ethnicity, race, creed, or color, through God's eyes, we're all sisters and brothers. So the next time you look at the skin on my face, remember to judge me by my heart and not my race. Thank you.
Writers and poets write for a myriad of different reasons. Some write primarily to speak a message to their audience, because to stay silent is not an option. So when you think about it, why do you write? More importantly, why do you continue to write?
You're right. Absolutely right, Dr. Michael. Staying silent is not enough. But I do write to give people information to kind of bridge that gap between different cultures and race, kind of bring a connection. I write to unify, and I write most of all to say I'm here. I'm here, and I matter.
Eloquently stated. Thank you. Jacqueline, what is one thing you've learned about yourself as a result of being a poet?
I think I can successfully transform my thoughts into other people's headspace. I can actually make you feel what I'm feeling. I can allow you to visualize what you're being like trapped or denying yourself. You may be in denial on certain incidents or situations. I can get inside your head with my poetry. And I can transform my thought into your headspace where it will change your mind, change your perspective. Because knowledge is power. And a lot of times people don't understand things and it makes them shy away from them. Simply because they're ignorant to that situation. But ignorance doesn't necessarily have to be bliss.
Where can people find your work?
I have a website. And my website is rhymesjj.com. It's rhymesjj.com. If you go through my website, you will see all the different work and the services that I provide. I also do a poetry workshop where I teach young students through the YMCA and other community centers how to write poetry, how to clean up their verbiage, so they can express themselves on their form of thought. I also write personalized poems, such as birthdays, anniversaries, recognition, wedding, that things of that nature and bereavement that I don't charge anything for. I can compose your story into a work of art, laminate it and frame it. I also do what is called consulting. And through my consulting work, I help other poets or writers find their niche and what genre they would like to express themselves. Because a lot of times, people have writer's block because they have a lot to say, but they don't know what category to put it in or how to express them. And that's where I come in.
What's next for you creatively? Where do you go from here? What's next on your agenda?
What's next on my agenda is hopefully I can get picked up by a traditional publishing house so I can tour the world at their expense. Of course, my end game is to open a school of art so that a lot of the young people, their talents won't lay dormant, such as mine did. And I think it costs a lot of and a lot of misconception when you go through life and not knowing who you are other than who other people tell you you are or what you should be.
Wow.
So that's really important for me to open your tool up.
Thank you, Jacqueline James, for being my guest. You are absolutely incredible. You are a phenomenal woman. As Dr. Maya Angelou would say, you are truly a phenomenal woman. You are a renaissance woman because you do it all. Your work runs the gamut of different perspectives, and it all interrelates. And that is so beautiful because empathy, whichever the direction, is embedded throughout all of your work. So thank you. I wish you nothing but continued success, and I look forward to your return to this program. Take care.
Wow. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Jacqueline's poetry is medicine. It's ministry. She brings it everywhere. Nursing homes, schools, churches, communities that need healing. The following five bonus poems recorded exclusively for Timeless Classics show her range. Spiritual grace, timeless wisdom, joyful humor about aging, and fierce social justice. From devotion to laughter to prophetic truth, she offers poetry that serves, heals, and won't stop giving.
Hi, my name is Jacqueline James. I will be reading some of my poetry from my authentic collection. This is from the Spiritual Collection. Humble yourself. Humble yourself and be kind to others. Respect yourself, your father, and your mother. Live every day as if it's your last day. Allow Jesus in your heart as you humbly pray. Praise God's name as you lift your voice. Pray without cease throughout his course. Give God the glory for your daily work. Then in your life, he should not desert. Be slow to anger, yet quick to repent. Jesus' blood was shed, so forgiveness you'll get. Forgive others that may have offended you. Because of God's mercy, it's the right thing to do. Don't harbor thoughts over any ill feelings. Because we serve a God that's always in the blessing business. Be a faithful servant to all of those around. Then God will brighten your days with cheerful smiles. Throughout your life, embrace God's amazing grace. Then you'll spend your eternity in his sacred place. Jacqueline James. The next piece is from my educational selection. A wise man. A wise man who learned to listen, did less talking and became more attentive. Nothing less than knowledge did he desire. With great wisdom, he delivered the message that he acquired. The information he shared made perfect sense because importance of teaching, he insists. As the days ahead came to pass, the words he spoke was sure to last. Next, this same wise man took to silence, and he kept his peace to avoid any violence. He hibernated for months to years, while the outside world lived in fear. Those who followed his prestigious plans, once again, they saw this wise man. This next piece is from my motivational selection. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about all the prejudice and the hate. I don't want to talk about the country always in a debate. I don't want to talk about all the limitations and restrictions that they put on human beings to keep them bounded and shackled behind the scene. I don't want to talk about it, how they keep them feeling inferior and always in doubt to deprive them from the basic necessities and watch them go without. I don't want to talk about it, how we can trample on other humans' rights. I don't want to talk about it. In order to live a peaceful life, we must fight. I don't want to talk about it, how we're always at war. I don't want to talk about it, how if we find freedom through chivalry, we must travel for. I don't want to talk about it, how the same people we vote for to enforce and instill the laws, these are the same people who deny us the First Amendment and keep our backs up against the wall. I don't want to talk about it. How a certain race of people are still being sold into slavery in the 21st century. I don't want to talk about it. How the government allows these situations to go unreported and refuse to be mentioned. I don't want to talk about it. How every thousand of innocent children are being used and abused. I don't want to talk about it. How society avoid mentioning it on the evening news. I don't want to talk about it. How people rally together and protest for civil rights, equal rights, gay rights, and even human rights. And behind closed doors, they won't even do what's right. I don't want to talk about it. How poverty and famine has stricken millions of lives. I don't want to talk about it. How disease and sufferings have plagued many from day to night. I don't want to talk about how basic health care is overpriced, where no man can afford to relieve his own suffering. I don't want to talk about it. How the same suffering was created through men, greed, and destruction. I don't want to talk about it. How everything is for sale, including salvation for men, just to earn a buck. I don't want to talk about it. How the lottery and other get-rich schemes are put in place to press our luck. I don't want to talk about it. How we live in the richest country in the world, yet one-third of the population is in poverty. I don't want to talk about it. How children are starving and their parents try to survive by committing armed robbery. I don't want to talk about it. How mothers are selling their own babies into prostitution just to get high. I don't want to talk about it. How young children are committing suicide with no will to live. They'd rather die. I don't want to talk about it. These subjects are just too hard to talk about it because you don't want to talk about it. Now, the next piece is coming from my entertainment section. Let's put a little laughter into this, shall we? Where's my estrogen? You want to hear something weird? I'm about to grow a gray beard. All of my estrogen has faded away, and I'm turning masculine by the end of the day. My words have lost their gentle squeak, and I'm starting to sound manly, and my voice is deep. I can't keep my manners in their place, and hair is growing on my face. I'm forming muscles on my chest, and I'm looking rough with saggy breasts. I lost the fullness in my lips and the curves from my hips. Just to get my feminine back, the doctor prescribed me a hormone patch. Some women say to live a ripe old age, sometimes their estrogen just simply fade away. I was born a woman. I guess the woe has left the man. This next piece is from my educational section. Getting older. I thought I was a bowl of cereal, much as my bones popped. And when I walked, my knees knocked. I've gotten older, and I'm about to fall apart. But lucky for me, I have a strong heart. However, the rest, I think, is glued together. Because I start hurting and aching all over with the change of the weather. I take aspirins because my head hurt all the time. But when I take a nap all day, I feel just fine. My knees pop when I turn my head to side to side. I keep a crook in my neck that I try hard to hide. My arms hurt when I stretch them out wide. And when I move around, I feel cramps in my side. All of my joints pop as I move and they don't stop. I'm wondering what that's really about. My back hurt whether I'm walking, standing, or sitting down. And if I stand too long, I lose my balance and fall. I got arthritis in my fingers and my hands. And my legs are so weak, I can barely stand. My feet swell up as I move about. And the back of my legs hurt because I have gout. My toes, nails are overgrown. I try to clip them, but I can't reach them on my own. I pass gas all day long, and I look around to see what's smelling so foul. I try to talk on the phone, but I can hardly hear. And I'm wondering, is there something wrong with my ears? I constantly repeat myself, and I convince myself it happened as I waste my breath. I'm stressing when I drive a car, and it doesn't really matter if I'm not going far. I feel like the weight of the world is on my shoulder. And if I didn't know any better, I'd say I was getting older. But as far as my mind, it's as sharp as can be. If I can just remember who was talking to me. Jacqueline James, thank you.